Welcome to the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. Here's your host, Dr. D. Richard Ferguson.
Do you ever use meditation to relax? Beware of relaxing meditation. True meditation is not relaxing. If it's done right, it can be downright exhausting. But in today's podcast, we'll see how that kind of meditation can change your life. We're studying through the book of James, and today we're in James 1, 22-25. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but one who does good works, this person will be blessed in what he does.
In James 1:25, he's given us five principles that will help us be more successful in putting what we read into practice, to be doers of the word. The first three of those five we saw last time. If you want to be a doer of the word, start out by getting motivated by the promise of blessing. That's at the end of the verse. Then understand what the word actually is. Understand the nature of it. It is the perfect law that gives freedom. Understanding that will help you put it into practice. And then look intently into it. Look intently. And that's where we left off last time. This intensive looking into the word of God. And the common biblical word for that is meditation. Psalm 119 is the longest chapter in the entire Bible, and the whole thing is about Scripture. 176 verses about God's Word. And the entire thing, there's not one single mention of reading the Bible. I mean, he's saying everything he can think to say about God's Word, and he doesn't mention reading. He doesn't mention studying. He doesn't even mention listening. But over and over and over and over, he mentions meditating. Verse 15, I meditate on your precepts. Verse 23, your servant will meditate on your decrees. Verse 97, oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Verse 27, verse 48, 78, 99, 148, again and again and again. All through that psalm, he talks about meditating on the word. Now, is it important to read the Bible? Sure, but only so that you can meditate. That's the reason why you read. The only value to reading and listening and studying is so that you can understand. And the only value to understanding is so that you can meditate. Because meditation is the key to getting what you know into what you do. To get it from your head into your hands. So that you're actually putting it into practice. Psalm 119:27. Let me understand the teaching of your precepts, and then I will meditate on your wonders. See, there's a connection. The reason I need to understand is so that I can meditate. I want to understand so that I can meditate. And the reason I want to meditate is so that I can do it. That's Joshua 1:8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. So, obedience to God's word, putting it into practice, will never happen until the truths of God's word are absorbed and received and welcomed into your heart enough so that you don't forget them. So that you think of they become a part of the fabric of your belief system and your outlook, so much so that they pop to the front of your thinking. They come to mind at those moments right when you need them. That's when you'll actually become a doer of the word. So it happens through meditation. So I want to talk for a minute about what meditation actually is, because there's a lot of confusion. The false religions of our culture have done an amazing job at completely twisting this idea of meditation so that most people are completely confused about it. The meditation techniques that come from the religions, the Eastern religious systems and mysticism, things like yoga, the meditation connected with yoga and transcendental meditation and chakra meditation, all the different kinds of meditation techniques. One thing they all have in common is they're all designed to relax the mind, to kind of empty the mind. You focus on one word or one phrase, and you say it over and over and over, or you focus on one part of your body or something like that, and you just think about that one thing, you put everything else out. And after you do that long enough, eventually that word or that phrase or that thing you're thinking about will lose meaning. And at that point, your brain doesn't have anything left to chew on, and it just becomes dormant. It becomes passive. It becomes relaxed and open and suggestible. And that's the whole point of it. That's a very dangerous thing to do. I believe that Satan designed that kind of meditation for the purpose of getting people to the point of being hyper-suggestible so that demonic and satanic influences can come in. Steer clear of that kind of meditation. It is not good. It's not a good thing. Biblical meditation is the opposite of all that. The goal of biblical meditation is not to empty your mind, but to fill your mind so that it becomes saturated with the truth of God's Word. And the purpose is not relaxation or stress relief. That's not what it's for. Biblical meditation actually isn't all that relaxing. It might be the most strenuous thing you do all day. And it's not stress relieving either in some cases. Some cases might actually increase your stress, you know, and it might convict you of a sin or burden your heart with some driving passion to do some ministry. It's not for the purpose of relaxing. It's for the purpose of extracting life-giving truth from God's Word. And it's hard work. You wrestle with the passage, you think about it and examine it from every angle until you see the significance for your life. And the benefit comes not from the meditating, but from the object of the meditation, the Word of God. You can think of God's Word as being like a time-released pill. You know, those pills that you swallow them, and at first they don't do anything, and then your stomach acids eat through the outside, and bit by bit it's released, and the medicine goes into your system. That's the way the Word of God works. When you read a passage, you know, if you read a passage for a few seconds and flip over to some other passage and then you whip over to some other passage, and that's like taking a time-release pill and popping it in your mouth and spitting it out, popping another one, spitting that out and pop, and it doesn't do anything. It's not in there long enough to actually do anything. Remember the promise of 2 Timothy 2:7 from last week? He said, reflect on what I'm saying and the Lord will give you insight. Insight comes from reflection. What's the implication if you don't reflect? Lord might not give you insight. You might read and read and read, and he might not give you insight. Insight requires meditation. You know, Psalm 119:99 is a really interesting verse. It says this, I have more insight than all my teachers. So I got more insight than my teachers. How can that be? How can I have more insight than the people that are teaching me this stuff? If they taught it to me, obviously they know it. How can I know more than them if they're the ones teaching me? Answer, let me read you the rest of the verse. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I meditate. See, it's possible to have more insight than the people that are teaching you because insight is not the same thing as knowledge. It's a lot more than mere knowledge. They have knowledge. They taught it to you. That means they have knowledge. But what you've got, if you meditate, is insight. Insight is knowledge plus meditation. And insight is what you need in order to put God's Word into practice. And so we need to meditate. You say, well, how's that done? What's the procedure? How do I meditate? Well, good news is you already know how to do it. You're probably good at it. If you know how to worry, you know how to meditate. Raise your hand if you know how to worry. Okay, good. All right, you're in great shape. Worry, if you think of it, what is it? It's when you take some negative thing, that some future painful thing that might happen, and just put it in front of your thinking, right in front of your eyes, all day long, and just keep examining it from every angle. That's worry. You do the same thing with Scripture, that's meditation. That's what it is. In fact, the Hebrew word for meditation is to mumble. It's just the normal word for to mumble. So the idea is you're talking to yourself about it. You have a passage of Scripture. Have you ever noticed that when somebody's in deep thought about something, they're really trying to concentrate, they're really trying hard to avoid any distraction and block everything else out and really, really focus, sometimes you'll see their lips moving a little bit? That's this word. They're mumbling, they're so focused, they're like, they're just thinking about that one thing. That's meditation. Some people have compared it to a cow chewing its cud. You know how that works? Cows, you know, they ruminate, they'll eat the grass, chew it up. That's the first part of the digestion process. And then they swallow it. It goes into one chamber of their stomach. And then it passes into another chamber. There's some more digestion in there. Then it comes back up and actually chew it up some more. And then it goes back down into a third chamber, and then a fourth chamber, and then it goes through that whole process, and that's how they finally extract the nutrients from it. It's interesting because that's why cattle can live off of grass, and they can survive off grass. You know, you can't do that. If you were starving, you went out and just ate some grass, you would die. You'd starve to death just eating grass. You can't do that. Your body can't. And it's not that it doesn't have nutrients in there. I mean, it's enough to keep a cow alive. That's a big animal. But it can't keep you alive because God didn't give you the mechanism to extract the nutrients that are in that grass. But what God did give you is the mechanism to be able to extract the nutrients that are in God's Word. And the way you do that is very similar to the way cattle get the nutrients from grass. Chew on it, swallow it, digest, chew on it some more, swallow it again, digest some more. That's meditation. And it's hard work. Because, let's face it, we're easily distracted, right? We're just really easily distracted. That's one of the reasons why sermons can be so valuable. You can think of a sermon as just assisted meditation. That's really what we're doing here, right? Assisted meditation. I mean, think about what we're doing right now. As a group, we're sitting here meditating on James 1:25. And my role is just to stand up here and help you meditate. It's a lot easier to think about a passage of Scripture for an hour, one passage for a whole hour, if somebody is up here talking about it the whole time. Think about if you weren't here, if you didn't come today, if you were somewhere else right now, you probably wouldn't be spending a whole hour thinking about one verse without getting distracted. So one of the purposes of the sermon in our corporate gathering is to assist you in looking intently into God's Word. Intensive looking. Hospitals have a certain area in the building that they call the intensive care unit. We can call this room right here our intensive stare unit, right? We're staring intensively into God's Word. That's what this room is for. It's the intensive stare unit. It's a place where we gaze intently for an hour at a time at a passage of Scripture. And it's the easiest kind of meditation there is because I'm helping you think a lot of different thoughts about it, to look at it from various different angles. And I'm suggesting the angles. So, giving you different perspectives on the verse. And all you have to do is just sit there and think about what you're hearing. So it's the easiest kind of meditation. And if your mind wanders off and you get distracted and you're thinking about lunch or whatever, all I have to do is do some crazy antic up here, you know, or slam the pulpit really loud or something like that, and boom, you're back. Right? Welcome back, by the way, some of you. So the point is, a sermon is assisted meditation. That's what it is. And that's a great thing about expository preaching, by the way. The thing that's so good about taking a text of Scripture and exposing it and talking about it for the whole sermon is you could listen to the sermon and totally disagree with all my conclusions. Say, I think he's way off. I think his interpretation is off. You could hear my illustrations. Say, those don't apply to me. That's not relevant for me. And you could hear all that stuff and still profit greatly from having heard the sermon just because you spent a whole hour looking at God's Word. It's the beauty of expository preaching. So listening to the Bible teaching and sermons is crucial. But I would urge you to make sure that you don't let that be your only exposure to God's Word. I mean, this room might be our intensive stare unit, but it shouldn't be the only place where intensive staring at God's Word happens. Sometimes the angles that I look at the verse from aren't the ones that you need. And many times the passage that I'm preaching, the passage that God wants you to focus on isn't the one I happen to be preaching. There's a great deal of benefit that comes from personal time alone in God's Word every day. And you can't subsist on being fed once a week anyway. This is alone in your own prayer closet. That's where the Word really gets hidden in your heart. So much of the sermon is pre-digested, which is, there's value to that. But there's also a lot of value to seeing things for yourself with your own two eyes on the pages of your own Bible and having God speak to you through His Word in the privacy of your own prayer room. So much value to that. So let me give you some principles for effective meditation. When you go to meditate on God's Word, what are some things you could do beyond what we talked about last week? Let me just give you three quick ones. First, I would suggest always have something on the front burner. a passage of scripture that's on the front burner of your thinking. You're chewing on it. It might be the text from the sermon, might be from your devotions this morning, whatever. It should always be some passage on the front burner, and keep it there on the front burner until you replace it with something else. Keep it there for as many days, weeks, months as it takes to make the connections in your thinking until you can finally start living it out. Then you can move on to something else. And if something happens and you don't have your devotions on a particular day, you just use the front burner passage from yesterday. In fact, even if you do have your devotions, I do that every morning. I go through my devotion time, and at the end I think, okay, is there some passage of scripture that I just saw, some truth from God's word that I need to make my new front burner thing, or do I stick with the one from yesterday? That way, if you get really lazy or busy or whatever and you're not having your daily devotions, you still got that passage that you're chewing on and chewing on. And if you go too long without being in God's word, eventually a passage starts to get old and you just want to change the scenery, and that'll drive you back into God's word. So that's a good thing. All right. So always have a front burner passage. That's one. Number two, take that passage and just plaster it across the landscape of your life. This is Deuteronomy 6. God said, these commands that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them. What does that look like? Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands. Bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses, on your gates. Just plaster it all over everywhere in your existence. Put sticky notes on your mirror and your refrigerator, your dashboard, or whatever. Put reminders on your phone. Bring it up in conversations. Talk about it at breakfast and lunch and dinner. Tom Moeller was telling me about how his watch beeps. He's got his watch that beeps at the top of every hour, and he uses that as a memory cue to think about his front burner passage. You know, Tracy and I stayed at this place up in Buena Vista last summer, and it was just this retreat, this Christian retreat place, and they have scriptures everywhere. I mean, plaques and paintings and just all of them with quotations of scripture everywhere. There's so many of them. At first I thought it was a little much, you know, just more decoration than you would normally put up in a house. But after being there a couple days, it was nice. I mean, you just, everywhere you go, like five or six of them just in the bathroom, you know, and then all over your wall and by the bed and everywhere, walking down the hall, you see them and you're just being reminded of these marvelous truths from scripture all day long. It was very uplifting and edifying. So, plastered across your life, God put that passage in Deuteronomy 6. He put that in the Bible because he knew that without constant reminders and memory cues, we'll go all day without thinking about it, won't we? We'll go all day and just not think about it. So we need memory cues. All right, that's number two. Number three, sleep on it. Psalm 119:48. My eyes stay open through the watches of the night, that I may meditate on your promises. Take advantage of nighttime. Nighttime's a great time for really letting things sink in. You know, I've found that if I can manage to fall asleep chewing on a passage of scripture, just really thinking through a passage of scripture, and I'm thinking about it at the moment I drift off to sleep, my mind will just kind of ruminate on that all night long, and I wake up in the morning, it'll be the first thought that I have is that passage. And it starts to really sink in. I've also found, incidentally, that that helps me go to sleep. You know, I don't know why, but there's certain kinds of, I don't know what the science is behind this, but there's certain kinds of thinking that if you do that kind of think, it'll stimulate parts of your brain that keep you awake. And there's other kinds of thinking that if you do that, it will let you go to sleep. And like, for example, worry, that's one of the kinds of thinking that will stimulate you and make you so you'll be awake. Meditating on scripture has the opposite effect on me. It lets me go to sleep. So it really helps. And if you have insomnia, this is a great practice. Because if it works, then you finally get some sleep. If it doesn't work, then you get lots of meditation. So either way, it's a win-win. Right? All right, so now you become motivated by the promise. All that was still under that category of intensive looking. Look intently into God's word.
I would urge you to take a few minutes right now and pick a passage of scripture to put on your front burner, a passage you can chew on for the next week or so. If no passage comes to mind, how about Psalm 119:9-16? How can a young man keep his way pure by living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Praise be to you, O Lord. Teach me your decrees. With my lips, I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. I rejoice in following your statutes as one rejoices in great riches. I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways. I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word.
Thank you for listening. If you found today's episode edifying, why not share it with a friend? This season of the Food for Your Soul podcast features excerpts from our sermon series on the book of James. 50 expository sermons covering every verse. You can find those and hundreds of other sermons for free download on drichardferguson.com. And if you like listening on your phone, download our free Food for Your Soul mobile app. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.